Good morning and welcome. Especially we welcome the mothers who are present with us today. We're so thankful for you, and we're thankful that our country has decided to set aside a day to honor the mothers of our country. There's a saying that sometimes we once heard, I don't know if we hear it so much anymore, but the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And there's some truth to that. We're thankful for the presence of everyone. We recognize that we have many visitors with us today because you're here visiting with your mother today, and we're thankful for that. But we also have many who are visiting away from us today to be with their mothers today. So this morning, I want us to focus on the fact that, of course, none of us are complete without God. We are created in the image of God to live to the glory of God. And we don't know how to do that unless we learn from God's Word. God has given us His Word so that we might know who we are, who He is, and what He created us to be. None of us are able to be what we can be, what God created us to be, without God at work in our lives. That doesn't happen supernaturally. It happens out of an act of love, actually, on our part. God's love for us, that He revealed His will to us in His Word. And our love for God, that we turn from our will, our selfish will, our self-centered will, that so often longs for the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life, to serve self. We turn from that to serve God, to live in His righteousness, and to do His will and glorify Him thereby. And so it is for those who would fulfill the responsibility of being a mother. You know, a biological action takes place to where one becomes a mother. But are we mothers as God would have us to be? God teaches us all things, and He certainly teaches us how to be a mother. And Proverbs 31, of course, the familiar passage says, verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies." And then as you drop down to verse 25, it says, "Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, a woman who reveres God, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." So the fullness of the blessings that mothers can bring to our lives are made full when they are activated by the power of God, when the spiritual nature is understood and practiced in mothers, and they instill the same in their children. She fears the Lord. She reveres God. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 says, this is the whole reason why we're here, the whole purpose why God created us, the whole purpose of mankind and of you personally and individually, that you revere God and keep His commandments. Mothers who have learned to revere the Lord realize that the Lord has entrusted into their hands precious souls to be formed and shaped and guided into the very image of God. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about the value of godly mothers. The women in scriptures who are commended to us as examples of godly mothers are consistently represented to us as prioritizing God in their lives. God is first and foremost to them. That's why they are the kind of wives that they are. That's why they are the kind of mothers that they are. They instilled godly virtues in the lives of their children. They offered sound counsel and comfort and direction. They supplied their children that which was of the greatest and eternal value. Hannah, you'll remember, prayed to have a child and dedicated him to God. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11, and you're familiar with that story. Oh, that all mothers and fathers would pray as they desire to conceive, and as that child matures in the womb and gives birth, all that all parents would pray and dedicate their children, each and every child, to God and His glory. All mothers must prioritize dedicating their children to God, to understanding His will, and to conforming their lives to the will of God. Lois and Eunice, Timothy's grandmother and mother, so we read in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, instilled in him a sincere faith so that he could live a godly life and be effective in serving God. A sincere faith. What is a sincere faith? Well, it's a genuine faith. It's the real McCoy, you might say. It's not a feigned faith. It's not a feeling kind of faith. It's not a faith that's on display to bring honor and glory to self, but it's a sincere faith of hearing the Word of God and doing the will of God as it's revealed in the Word of God. They might glorify the God who created them and saved them and revealed their purpose to them. Eunice is a very special mother, I think, to consider for just a few moments of time. You remember that Lois and Eunice both were Jews and, of course, had been raised in the Mosaic law and so forth. They have heard about Christ and have become Christians. The training that they had given Timothy in the Old Testament scriptures carried over into their training of him, of course, also in the gospel of Christ. That the faith that they practiced in Christ, that Timothy was engaged in that as well. But consider Eunice for just a few moments. Her husband was not a Jew. In fact, inference of Scripture indicates that he was not a proselyte either. In other words, he was not a Gentile who practiced the Jewish religion. Because we know that Timothy, at the time that the Apostle Paul was introduced to him, Timothy was not circumcised in accordance to the Mosaic law, indicating that he had been raised with the influence of his father as well, and perhaps his father had forbidden his wife, Eunice, from having their son circumcised. And so we see the wonderful job that Eunice has done to raise Timothy in reverence for God and the desire to keep the commandments of God and practice the commandments of God. But she did that without the aid of her husband. Her husband, being a Greek, during the time of the first century, the Roman Empire, which followed on the heels of the Grecian Empire, no doubt believed in polytheism, believed that there were all kinds of different gods. And it's interesting that as you look at the Greek gods, and those Greek gods of society of the Grecian Empire carried over into the Roman Empire, it's interesting that as you study them, you find something very interesting. That all of the Greek gods had the same characteristics of men who do not fear God. That if man was going to come up with a God that we should worship, God would be like men. He would lie. He would cheat. He would be envious. He would seek vengeance on anyone who did him wrong. And so we see all of the Greek gods were like that. Interestingly enough, if you carry that over to the time of Muhammad, as he came up with his religion, he created Allah in the same image. It's interesting as you compare the valid and verified way of God that has been given to us in the scriptures to the way of Islam. It's a vast, vast difference. That Islam is more carnal than it is spiritual. But Eunice here, in spite of the influences that she was in the midst of during her adult life, she revered God. She and her mother, and they raised Timothy to have this same reverence for the true God. Not the gods of Greece, not the gods of Rome, but the one true God. It's a great lesson there for each of us today. Mary, the mother of the Lord, had a submissive spirit to God. When told that she was going to have a child, that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, her response was, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Oh, that each of us, male or female, would have the same spirit that Mary had. That as we read the word of God and it convicts us of our sin, and we read the word of God and it tells us the things to do to be consistent with righteousness and to glorify God. Oh, that we would be of the spirit of Mary and say, "Let it be to me according to your word. Let me turn from my way to walk in your way." The love of a mother is magnified when they surrender their hearts to the Lord and they instill in their children to do the same. I think you see that with each of those examples that we just noticed. They provide what is best for today, and they provide a secure hope for the future. That they don't emphasize to their children, "Well, you know, it's important that you get a good job. What's most important is that you're independent and self-sufficient and all of these things." No, that's not what godly mothers instill in their children. Godly mothers instill in their children that their security is not going to be found in how much money and recognition they might earn in their lives, but their security is found in seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Instilling in their children to trust God and His promises. If you want to look at it this way, then put God to the test if you want to. But do His will always, and you'll see His providence in your life. Parenting apart from God's perspective is self-centered, temporal, and short-sighted. Parenting apart from God's perspective, God looks at each one of us as a soul that He wants to be with Him in heaven for eternity. A place that is holy and pure, and that we need to learn to be holy and pure and dedicated to that. That's what God wants for each of us, and that's what each godly parent wants for their children. Do you have that desire in you? When you look at the world today and what they emphasize and what's important to society and to cultures today, not very often do you hear them talking about God. It's always been interesting to me that in these on-the-street surveys that people have, and sometimes they'll have them even around Mother's Day. Why do we have Mother's Day? They might ask. Or why do we have, what are we celebrating with the 4th of July and things around the history of our country? And it's always just absolutely amazed me how little people know about our country, its history, our founding fathers of our country, their reverence for God and the things of God. It's no wonder that our country is slipping away from the characteristics that you find in the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. But even more basic than that, our country is slipping away from the characteristics of motherhood and parenting as God teaches us to parent our children. And God teaches us to focus not on the here and now, but on the hereafter. God teaches us that we are as pilgrims, temporarily in a place, traveling through a land to a greater land that is beyond even our universe. And it is sad to me that most of the people you meet today have no concept of that. And perhaps even sadder to me is that the reason some of the people in our own network of influence don't have that concept is because we are not teaching them. We are not sharing with them God's word on these matters. Many people today are short-sighted on the here and now, or the next few years, or the next 10 years, or the next 50, or the next 80 years. What then? What then? What if you gain the whole world and its wealth and recognition, but you have no focus on the will of God and glorifying Him in your life? Parenting based in righteousness is God-centered, with eternity in view. Earth and the things that it has to offer us are just simply tools of survival. But our emphasis is upon the things that God has provided us with from His Word, truth, hope. We thank God for those mothers who who so live and so love, past and present. They are a great blessing to their families, to the church, and to our culture. They are to be and will be blessed by God. Our honor of them is given, not just in flowers or meals or cards or gifts, but in how we live. Your mother taught you to revere God and to keep His commandments. The best thing that you will ever give her is to revere God and keep His commandments in every stage of your life. As Paul said, that I have not labored in vain or run in vain. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." You ever just stop and meditate on that? And how simple that admonition is. We talk about, well, what's right and what's wrong? I overheard a conversation about that just a week. Well, I guess it was just earlier this week on Monday. Well, who's to say what's right and what's wrong? What is truth? God's word is true. What God says is right. And everything that disagrees with it is wrong. What's the right thing to do? We've talked about the right thing to do as a parent, as a mother. What's the right thing to do as a child of a godly mother? Obey them. Because when you obey a parent who has taught you the ways of the Lord, you're not just obeying them, you are obeying, more importantly, the Lord. This is right. You don't have to feel that you're right. You know that you're right because God's word says you're right. He goes on in verse 2 and 3, he says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth." Obey them. Honor them. Verse 4 goes on to say, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." I believe the wrath that he's talking about there is the wrath of God. Not the wrath of children towards their parents, but the wrath of God upon children that are not raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And the nurture of children who did not submit to the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the training and the correction that is provided for us in the Word of God. Philippians 2 and verse 22, Paul said of Timothy to the Philippians, he says, "You know Timothy's proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel." You know his character. You know of his love for me and my love for him, but more importantly, of our mutual love for God, that we serve in the gospel of Christ. Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 20 through 23 reads, "My son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake the law of your mother." Oh, how blessed we are if we have had parents that revered God and kept His commandments and raised us in the training and the correction of God's Word. When we keep such a father's command, we're keeping God's commands. When we abide in and do not forsake the law of such a mother, we abide in and do not forsake the law of God. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. Literally? No, not literally. But he's saying, keep the commands and the instructions of God, the love of God, with you at all times. That love that comes by knowing his word. And when you roam, God's word will lead you. Maybe one of the more difficult times in a parent's life is when it's time for the child to leave the nest, as sometimes we say. We look back at the lives of our children. You know, when we're going to have a baby, and a baby comes into our lives, and time passes, and they grow, and you know, the whole time that they're growing, you say, boy, I can't wait until they're out of diapers, or I can't wait until they can walk, or I can't wait until they can talk, and we can communicate, and I can't wait until they do this and do that, and before you know it, they have their own family, and they're raising their own children. And sometimes we say, you know, I could have waited a little bit longer when they were young and when I could hold them to my chest. And I could snuggle with them and they could snuggle with me in our bed. But the time comes that they're on their own, and they go out, and they roam. Oh, that the instructions of a godly father and a godly mother will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. You can rest. You're not troubled. You don't lay awake all night concerned about what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen. But you have the promise of God, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. When you awake, they will speak with you. What are you going to do today? How are you going to do it? I'm going to live to the glory of God. I'm going to keep his commandments. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs and instruction are the way of life. God's word will correct us, it will direct us, and it will instruct us in the way of righteousness here, that we might live with him hereafter. I am so thankful that God, in his wisdom and his providence, has given us his word. And I'm so thankful for the examples of godly mothers that we have in the scriptures. And I'm so thankful for the example of godly mothers that we have in this congregation, who put God first in their lives and raised their children in the training and the correction of God's word. If you're here this morning and you've been thinking about becoming a Christian, about turning from your sin to walk in the righteousness of God, and you've decided that today is the day, now is the time, this is the hour, this is the moment that you're going to confess your faith in him, that you're going to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And from this day forward, walk with him in newness of life, in the pathway of light that leads to his throne of glory. We'd encourage you to let it be known. If you're here today and you're a child of God, but you realize you're out of favor with God because you haven't been walking in that way, and you want to return to him, make your life right with him, and renew your commitment to live for him. James tells us, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we can assist you in any way this morning, we would encourage you to let it be known. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?